Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me and music industry icon Rick Rubin, along with authors Malcolm Gladwell and Bruce Hedlum, as we chat with legends like Neil Young and Andre 3000 and upcoming artists like Faye Webster about their life and their careers. In honor of Women's History Month, we're spotlighting groundbreaking female artists like Missy Elliott, Patti Smith, and Bonnie Raitt, and celebrating the strides they've made for women. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Maya Shunker, host of A Slight Change of Plans, which was recently named Best Show of the Year by Apple for 2021. And we've got new episodes for you about everything from the science of change to personal stories, like a blind woman who becomes a master chef, and an Australian doctor who rescued a boys' soccer team from deep within a cave in Thailand. Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
What's up, y'all? If you're listening to this, you have met the bit side of the best bits. This is part two, where I just intro the bits and the bits play. The conversation this weekend was with Abby, and it was super awesome. So if you want to hear that, make sure you listen to part one. That's just the conversation. I'll still break down the bits. But right now, we're getting into the bits that you want to hear in case you missed it this week. So coming in at number 7, Raymundo had an awkward encounter with a listener, and now he may close his account at the bank because of it. So a lot of drama with this one because Raymundo felt very violated in a lot of ways. Here you go.
Number 7.
All right, we voted in the room. Although Lunchbox did call him Clickbait Ray, Ray's segment has been chosen in Pick-A-Bit. Ray had an awkward experience at the bank with a listener. Raymundo, your bit has been chosen. What would you like to do here?
So I go into the bank and I have a check to cash and I cash with the lady there and everything was just fine. She's getting my money out and she goes, "Hey, I'm a really big fan of the show." And I'm like, great. She's got my account open. Here we go. And she said, "I also love Amy." Oh. Cool. I'm not Amy. But she continues. And she goes, "Hey, I'm looking at your account. And again, I'm just cashing a check." And she says, "I see you don't have a savings account. Why is my account open? Why is she looking into my savings account when I'm just cashing a check?" So I'm sitting there. I'm like, no, it's in my wife's name. And she goes, "Well, would you like me to pull up your wife's account and then bring that over to your account as well?" And I'm like, No, you're a fan of the show. I just want the check cashed. I want you out of my account." And so then she says, "Well, I see here that you don't ever put any money in savings." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, close my account and just give me the check." And so my out was, Yeah, I'll just take 20s. That'll be perfect. And she gave me the 20s, and then I said, thank you, have a good day. And in my head, I said, I will never come back to this game again, this bank again. I'm closing my account.
But why?
You don't need to get into my account when I'm cashing a check.
So you wish they wouldn't have said they were a show listener.
It was bad form on their part that she said she was a fan and she's interested. Yes.
So she probably should have just, I think everything she did, though, was normal. I think if she were able to do it without saying she was a fan, you wouldn't have felt violated.
It did feel like snooping a little bit, but I will never go back to that bank again, considering closing the account.
I feel like that's a bit too much.
I don't need somebody telling me I need to put money into savings.
It is weird, though, when people have access to your accounts and they're also like, hey, I'm a big fan. That's weird. Once, 10 years ago, some officer showed up to my door. Dum, dum, dum. And I looked out at a little thing. I moved the little hatch back and I could see them. They dropped two badges. And I was like, what is happening? And they said, you mind if we come in? I said, yeah. And they came in, and those badges were IRS badges. And they're like, IRS have badges? They're like, we work on the IRS task force. And I'm like, what did I do? And so, but it turns out a listener had hacked into all my IRS files and then was such a big fan of the show, got into Amy's, got in. And so they were like, do you want to press charges? Do you know who this is? And I was like, yeah, she shows up at remotes. Like remote broadcasts all the time.
Yeah, we knew who she was.
She worked for the IRS.
Oh, yeah, wow. But the FBI was involved too. I lived in North Carolina at the time, so the FBI is the one that questioned me.
It went from IRS to FBI.
Yeah.
But wow. They were the ones first. They were like, do you recognize this person? They brought me a picture of her. But it does feel a bit of a violation whenever, it doesn't have to be a fan, but when someone knows you but also works at a place where they can get inside your information and see like your guts.
I mean, she had already seen it all, but thank goodness there's also an internal system that will flag people. Like, how she got caught was she was looking at things clearly she wasn't supposed to, and it got red flagged. And then they were like, wait, why is this person in San Antonio looking up these people? And then they connected the dots. They were like, what did these people have in common?
And it was a show.
And they said that, oh, wait, okay.
It was one of my ex-girlfriends at the time.
Yeah.
Like, she went in on me every way and then started just going around the dots to see, look what everybody had, money.
Part of a federal investigation where people put our names together and someone on the team or someone investigating was like, that's the Bobby Bone Show. And then they started reaching out to all of us.
And I remember when they got there, I sit down in the chair and started pouring water over my face. And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm waterboarding me. I know you guys want some answers.
You just like, so let's volunteer get them. Yourself yes. for that. Yeah, it was scary.
I think my story saved your bit, Ray.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's fine. I would have picked his no matter what.
Clickbait.
Yeah.
Clickbait, Ray.
Is he getting a reputation of clickbait, Ray?
No. Yeah. I think that's a
thing. Mike, you think he is? Clickbait Ray? He's like, he was pretty good. The headline was pretty good. But Clickbait Ray?
Yeah, I mean, it works on the internet. Why not? Clickbait Ray.
I might need to change the title of my story then.
Yeah.
Like, why?
A murder in my house, maybe?
No, but that's not true. His was still kind of true. Okay. All right, Ray, thank you for your story.
Yep.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
It's number six on the best bits this week. The show shared the things they are geeking out over right now. And they're across the board from basketball to forest bathing to reality TV shows to fishing. It is all the fun things that sometimes we never get to geek out over. So you get to hear that from the show right now.
Number six.
All right, this segment is called Nerding Out. It's what we're all individually nerding out about. We even have nerdy music. Hit that, please. All right, nerding out. Amy, you're first. Go.
Well, I'm nerding out about forest bathing because I keep reading about it in like health and wellness as a way to decrease stress and stuff. So I'm finally going to go take myself to a forest bath this weekend.
What's a forest bath?
Well, all you got to do is just go be out with nature. I'm going to go to this woods area where I like to hike and I'm going to sit and soak up like all the things. I'm going to breathe. You're fully clothed. It's not like you're taking a bath.
And you're not in the water.
No, you're not in the water. You're soaking up nature, the trees. Like, so
I guess, what's it called?
Forest bathing.
Ages, I don't know, 0 through 18, forest bathing for life for me. Lived in the woods, basically.
Yeah,
I guess so.
I'm sure it's good for your stress level.
So why again?
Decreased stress, boosted immunity, and it helps boost
your... How does it boost immunity when you're sitting in the woods?
Because, like, if you're feeling one with nature and healthier, and if your stress is decreased, your immunity is better. Mm-hmm. I mean, for it.
That's all right.
Interesting. All right, nerding out. Eddie, what do you got?
Man, so, you know, I love fishing. This guy in North Carolina, he caught a fish that broke a 60-year-old record. This fish was 12 pounds, 8 ounces. I mean, it's huge. I saw it. I'm like, that is a beautiful fish.
What kind of fish, though? Because, like, a catfish, they go to, like, 100.
Sure, I get it. It's a speckled trout.
Okay, trout, and man, definitely smaller. Yeah.
My goal recently has been to catch a trout. There's a river, like, 30 minutes from here. I will do it in the next couple years. I know I can.
Who's going to do it first? Lunchbox wins a lottery or Eddie catches a record trout?
I don't know. Oh, the lottery for sure.
The fish, guys.
Neither one. Mine is the NCAA tournament starts on Thursday officially with the 64. They're playing games, not on Thursday. They've already happened. But on Thursday, it happens. You can still bet. You can still build your bracket.
Okay.
But I'm going to give you tips now. Pick the lower numbers.
Okay.
Just in generally, pick the lower numbers.
By lower, ones, you mean twos. Team number one, two.
Yes. Okay. They're the better team.
Ranking.
64% of the time, a number one seed wins the tournament, wins the whole thing. There are four number ones, Gonzaga, Arizona, Kansas, and Baylor. There are number twos. We could go through the whole thing. But
there are number 11s.
Literally, pick the lower numbers. Okay. There are going to be some upsets, but usually what happens most of the time is that the lower numbers win.
So we can still bet like through, I don't want to do a bracket, but I can do like DraftKings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're my coach.
I don't want to be in charge of your money.
It's okay. I'm going Baylor. Number one, all the way. Take it.
Okay.
That's what my dad would want.
But you're not going to bet. You can bet them to win. You can bet what they call a future to win it all if you mm-hmm. want, but you can also bet individually each game.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'm going to be busy. I'm not going to watch, though. You don't have to watch. Yeah.
I have to coach her, then watch for her?
Yeah.
I'll be watching, okay. Yes. But that's my tip. It's an easy tip. Don't pick a lot of ups. You can pick an occasional upset or two, but generally, the data shows the lower numbers win more games and win the tournament.
Who are you saying is going to win?
Arkansas.
But they're not a lower number.
Hey, I said what I said.
Of course you would.
They're a four. Other than Arkansas, I think Tennessee got robbed. They're a three, but I think they probably should have been a two or maybe even a one. I think your school, Texas A&M, got robbed of being in the tournament, period.
What? We're not
even in
it.
Michigan should not be in the tournament. Oh, there's a lot of different things happening here. But I'm going with Arkansas or Tennessee. Kentucky.
Okay. No number ones there, but okay.
That's correct, yeah. Thank you. Lunchbox, you're up.
Look, guys, I've been telling you about the challenge on MTV for years. Wes, Banana, CT, Laurel, Killicam. I'm telling you guys, you got to watch it. No one cares about the challenge. No one likes the challenge. That's why the challenge is coming to CBS. It got a spinoff, baby. When you want to know when you're huge in TV is you get a spinoff series. They're going to take people from Big Brother, Survivor, and Amazing Race, and they're going to put them on the challenge, and we got another rendition of the challenge. Woohoo!
They've done this form of show for a long time. They used to do Battle of Network Media Stars, Battle of Sports. So the challenge itself isn't new, but I think what we don't care about are the people on the MTV challenge because we don't know who they are.
Well, you should care because it used to just be Real World and Road Rules people, and now they're going to CBS, and the winner of that gets an automatic bid into the MTV show Battle of the World.
What if the people that win are like, nah, I'm good?
They're like, well, I ought to go play down. I just won the big one here on CBS. That'd be fun. It'd be fun to watch your favorite.
Yeah.
Network reality stars play against each other. I probably won't watch it, but I do see where that would be fun. All right.
I thought you were going to get on the challenge train.
If it were shows I cared about, if it were like Dwight from The Office, you know,
he wouldn't survive.
Playing
Ooh,
against
yeah, good one.
Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
No, you can't have 90-year-olds.
Jennifer Aniston
yeah.
from Friends.
Oh, like that God. Would be fun because yeah. I care about them. All right, there you go. That's nerding out. Thank you, guys. And jam out to some music for 5 seconds. Turn it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Nerding out. We're just nerding out. We're nothing but nerds, and we just nerding out.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week. Show. With Morgan number two.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record podcast. Join me on Broken Record, along with music industry icon Rick Rubin and authors Malcolm Gladwell and Bruce Headlam, as we sit down with the artists you love, getting unparalleled creative insight into your favorite music. You'll hear revealing interviews with some of the most legendary figures in music, like Neil Young, Andre 3000, Bruce Springsteen, and Nas. And you'll learn about up-and-coming artists like Michelle Zahner, who talks about her big plans for the dreamy indie pop band Japanese Breakfast, and Krungbin, the Texas trio who share the inspiration behind their global funk sound. This March, we're spotlighting female artists like Missy Elliott, Patti Smith, and Bonnie Raitt. Celebrate Women's History Month with us and learn how these incredible women changed what was possible in music, forging their own paths while also paving the way for others. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A super epic interview and performance this week by Ernest. It was his first time on the show. He's done the Bobby cast with Bobby one time. And then I think Bobby went on Ernest's podcast as well. So super cool things there. But this was his first time on the Bobby Bones show. And he talked a lot about his songwriting. He's written for Morgan Wallen, Chris Lane, Mason Ramsey. He has so much talent just across the board. And so he performed some of those songs that he's written. He also performed his brand new song, Flower Shops, that's with Morgan Wallen. Of course, it was just him here in studio, so you can hear that interview and his performance. But if you want to watch it too, go to BobbyBones.com.
Number 5, the Friday Morning Conversation with
Ernest. All right, I'm pumped to have Ernest here. And before we actually talk to him, which, by the way, hello, Ernest.
Hi.
Now just pause for a second. I'm going to do a little sell of you, okay?
Oh, good.
I love this guy. He's got a new album out called Flower Shops. He's going to play a song from it in a second. The song right now that is crushing the charts is Flower Shops, and here's a clip.
So Mr. Optager,
it's Ernest and Morgan Wallen right there. On top of that, he wrote Big, Big Plans for Chris Lane, one of the writers there.
You know I got some big, big plans.
I Love My Country from FGL.
I Love My Country.
Breaking Up Was Easy in the 90s for Sam Hunt.
Sitting at the house.
More Than My Hometown from Morgan Wallen.
I love you more than
and Kane Brown won Mississippi.
So,
this guy's got it all.
Wow. Just a few good ones.
All right, we'll be back after this break. That's the whole break I was just talking about. Ernest, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
You know, Eddie said he came in the studio and he said, hey, I saw possibly Ernest driving down the road. And he said, it looked like two cartoon characters. It could have been, because your car is a
75 Coupe de Ville. Yeah.
That was it.
And you, yeah, it had to have been.
That was it.
What did you see inside the car?
Just two dudes, the music was so loud. We were at a red light, and you had pulled up next to me, and my car was shaking because you guys were jamming to something. It's almost like that TikTok video where you guys are just not talking to each other, but nodding your head, listening to something really good.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Who do you think was in the car with him?
Maybe Hardy. Just because you both had like trucker hats on. I didn't recognize Hardy. Maybe he didn't have glasses on or what.
But I think it was my boy Foley.
Okay. Classic Foley. Classic Foley.
It's awesome.
People are loving the new record.
Thank you.
You know, I had a radio guy that reached out to me and said, hey, I don't often say this. It's one of our guys that runs a station in South Carolina, just privately. And he says, this is the only record that I love every single song on it. And he said, in like 20 years.
Wow.
And so that wasn't him blowing smoke because you were doing an interview. He was just telling me that, you know, offhand because you'd come to the house and did the podcast.
That's wild. That's awesome.
I want to play a little clip here. This is Sucker for Small Towns. Really like this one. This is track one on his record.
I'm a sucker for small towns. Road we can ride down. Getting all lost on Saturday night. I'm a fool for a fool. You sure set the right mood. Finding that.
So this album has everything. It's got the slow ones that I love. It is a pure country album, and congratulations on it, man. It's really good.
I appreciate it.
When you make music, because you know you've written all kinds of songs for all kinds of people, how do you know what songs you want to keep for you and what songs you want to let somebody else record?
Pretty early on, while the song's getting written, I can have that emotional connection with it. When I start singing it, I know pretty well then and there. And in the same way, I know when it sounds like if it's a Morgan song or Chris Lane or somebody else, if I'm going to let it go.
How many songs on Morgan's last double album did you write with him or write, period?
11.
That's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot. And you're doing these shows out with Morgan now. Like, what is it like to get, I mean, these arenas are packed.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the hardest part is not being able to play any of my Morgan songs in my set.
Oh, that's
in my
true.
Set. But no, it's great. His fan base is awesome, and they've taken me on well. And playing in front of any crowd is awesome when they're singing your songs back. It's just, yeah, it's the best.
Tell my friends here on the show, you moved off to an island for a long time. How long?
Yeah, St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. I lived there for about a year, and we visit regularly now still.
And why did you move there?
because at the time, my girlfriend's dad, now my wife, was looking for houses down there. And he went and took all of us with him for 6 weeks. We rented a house. And in that 6 weeks, we fell in love with the island. He found the house. So I stayed on the island with him while she went to college and gigged around like Thursday through Saturdays doing beach bar gigs.
Stayed with a girlfriend's dad and just played on the island for a year. Amazing. Do you feel like that's where you kind of found yourself musically? Because you were just playing so many shows. You weren't making really any money.
I found myself entirely there, musically and spiritually. Definitely, the islands helped jumpstart whatever the rest of my life was about to be.
What is the rest of your life? I mean, what's it about right now? Ernest is here. Like, what do you say when someone's like, "What's your life about?"
Well, now I'm a family man, which is awesome. It's, you know, that the dream is happening perfectly, 'cause music and family, but having to find the balance between being a dad and a husband and going and doing the rock star thing too has been a challenge, but I'm lucky as all get out. They're supportive. Ryman's coming out with me this weekend on the road.
By the way, Ryman's his baby.
Okay.
Yeah. Not the building.
Okay. I was like, wow, the whole Ryman.
Yeah. Ryman's my baby boy's name.
Ernest is here, and if you don't mind, I would like to start off with hearing you perform Flower Shops.
Sure.
Can you talk about the song, though, because you wrote it. Talk about you're sitting in a room, and you know, where'd the idea come from, and what does the song mean?
Yeah, so to be honest, the song that inspired this song is Good Year for the Roses by George Jones. And Ben Burgess and I were on our way to Mark Holman's to write that day. And that song came on a iTunes Essential playlist or whatever, George Jones playlist. And we looked at each other like, what a cool title. Burgess like, yeah, dude, we should write one of those. And I was like, yeah. He's like, we should write something like Good Day for Flower Shops. I was like, absolutely yes. So we kind of talked it out, the character and what that song was going to mean, and had a lot of it written by the time we got to Holman's. And when we got to Holman's, picked up the guitar and started the... And it was in better tune at that time of the day. but in no time, we put melody and all the thoughts came to life, and we wrote the song pretty quick. And we knew then something was special, but we didn't know.
Here is Ernest.
Yeah, here you go.
Performing Flower Shops.
It's a beautiful day. She's been crying all night. All there's tears in her blues and bloodshot in mine. This bender's been bending. It's hellbound to break. My baby's had all she can take. So, mister, I'll take your roses. If you cut off the thorn, she can't take no more. How about violets and daisies to hide all the crazy? It's gonna take all you've got. Oh, it's a bad day for love, but a good day for flower shops.
Ernest in studio.
Thank you.
It's a great song, man.
Thank you.
How did you get Morgan Wallen to sing that song with you?
I texted him the demo pretty soon after I got it back, just out of excitement, like, yo, dude, listen to this. And it turned into one of both of our favorite songs. And pretty naturally, we started singing it together. We sang it together at a couple events. And then... he pretty much announced that he was going to do it with me at a Whiskey Jam show. And then so Morgan said he was going to do it with me, and then we did it together.
At Ernest, you guys can follow him on Instagram. We'll be back with Ernest in a second. I'm going to ask you to do what cool songwriters do that have a lot of success, just to play me little clips of the songs you've written.
Okay.
Is that cool? Can we do that?
Sure.
Also, and I haven't ran this by him, but can you, and I don't want to spoil it for our listeners, I tell him, see, can you rap my favorite song that you wrote for someone else, just that little part of it?
Oh, you're talking about...
The young...
Hop up in a race.
Not yet. Hold it. We will come back.
Yes, I can.
All right. Ernest did something that I'm amazed by, I love, and I didn't even know he did it. Ernest has a new album called Flower Shops, the album. This is track 2 that I love, called Tennessee Queen.
Good God Almighty, we got it good. Got a couple acre Graceland way out in the woods.
got me feeling like a king. Oh, I can be your River Song, you can be my Tennessee queen.
Ernest, you grew up here in Nashville, which is rare. You know, most artists that come through didn't really grow up here.
Yeah.
When you were a kid, did you ever see any cool country music artists just randomly in a restaurant or something?
Yeah, my cool country music artist exposure was Billy Dean. I was in third grade. And
Miss Billy the Kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I went to elementary school and middle school with Eli, his son, and Billy would like pick us up from school and take us to the pancake pantry. We go in through the back door, and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. I'm not waiting in the lines.
That's something. Like, I guess when you're a kid, there are other kids. And they have famous dads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you don't think about that.
Yeah, that was my exposure to cool country artist Billy Dean.
Man, Billy the Kid was such a jam back in the day. Ernest is here. He's got the album. But he's also written so many massive songs for other artists. So I've picked a few that I really enjoy.
Okay.
And if you can give me just a little bit, like, you know, a little verse, a little chorus, or just chorus, whatever. Chris Lane, Big, Big Plans.
All right.
And now this song, if I'm right about this, because you don't know, I got some big, big, that song. But this was the song he proposed with?
He proposed, yeah.
So were you involved in the secret writing of this?
Yeah.
And record? I mean, like, what happened?
Well, Jacob Durrett and I started writing this song, and then it was kind of half done. And we showed it to Seth, manager, and he was like, hey, I think Chris is looking for a song to propose to. This would be awesome. Let's get Chris in to finish it. So we brought Chris in, custom detailed the song, straight up built it out just for him. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, he played her the demo at her family's house, and it worked. So I had a big part in that relationship working out.
Without you, they wouldn't be together.
They wouldn't have a kid.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True. There's life on this earth because of Ernest.
Exactly.
Wow, that's not his. Okay, here is a little bit of Chris Lane's number one that Ernest wrote, Big, Big Plans.
Just look at her sitting there, sweatpants, t-shirt, and a comfy chair. Her hair in a bun, one hand on a mug, and the other one's playing snare. To a George Strait final, that yes and no line will get her close, but I don't think she can understand just how far I've been letting my heart fall and what's in my head. She don't know I got some big, big plans. Build a little house out on some hand-me-down land. Find a little island where we go to get tan. I bet we take our kids down there one day. And I know she wouldn't mind if I did a little something like find a flight overnight to paradise and leave tonight. And I'm gonna put a diamond on her hand. She don't know I got some big, big plans.
She don't. She don't know. One of the songs that you wrote that we played a little bit on this show, but it wasn't really like a country music song, was when Diplo did a country album, him and Morgan Wallen did Heartless.
Yeah.
And so when you wrote that, was that with kind of the Diplo-ish kind of beat behind it?
Yeah, we did. Me and Ryan Hurd wrote that with Charlie Handsome, and Charlie's an awesome pop hip-hop producer we work with a lot. And he had the drums smacking on that thing. So by the time we finished writing it, we actually kind of maybe manifested the Morgan Diplo thing. Like, this would be awesome for Morgan and Diplo. And it turns out it was.
Just give me a little bit of that. I don't need a whole lot.
Why you gotta be so heartless? I know you think it's harmless. You're tearing me apart, and girl, the hardest part is you're so high on attention, taking miles from inches. Leave me in the darkness, never finish what we started. Girl, why you gotta be so heartless?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
What if he played one and I was like, that's not a good one?
Next.
And I was like, you know, I heard that one. I never really loved it. I never really loved it. Do we have a clip of the Mason Ramsey?
Yep.
Okay, so Old Town Road came out massive. They put out a couple versions, and one had Mason Ramsey in it. We played it here. And so here is Mason on Old Town Road.
Hop up in my razor.
That's enough there. That's, I just wanted to, like...
We're good?
But...
Set the mood.
They call... Lil Nas X, like, FaceTimed you in, like, the middle of the night or something like that?
Yeah, right after dinner time, Mason's manager... I got the call from the bullpen. He was like, Smith, get loose.
So you ran up to a studio and...
We recorded this verse that night, and it came out the next day.
Do you know the whole verse by heart right now?
I think I do.
Now, here he is, Ernest, doing the Mason Ramsey part that he wrote for Old Town Road.
All right. Hopped up in my Razor, got 1,000 acres, ride up on the cows with it, Betty, you don't phase her, oh, oh, yippee-yo-kay, if you ain't got no giddy up, then giddy out my way.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, yeah, come
yippee
on.
Yippee-yo-kay, if you ain't got no giddy up, then yes.
Did you ever meet Mason Ramsey?
Oh, yeah, Mason's little bro. I went on tour with Mason.
That's right. I saw that picture. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, I opened for Mason.
I saw a picture of you in like a chain with Mason next to you.
Yeah.
This guy opened for Mason Ramsey.
Amazing.
Okay, I want to encourage you guys to check out Flower Shops, the album. The show, or the song Flower Shops is just killing it right now, but it's an entire album that just came out. I'm going to play one more track here. Here is track, let's do track 5, Comfortable When I'm Crazy.
Maybe I ain't no saint, I'm only comfortable when I'm crazy.
His name is Ernest, and he drives, let me get the right year, 1975 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. He blasts music, and he has to be paying a lot for gas.
I've seen it.
Gas is not cheap.
Yeah, to drive that thing.
I ran out of gas pulling up to another radio show last week, so I drove my truck today, so we didn't have that happen
to
us.
Oh, no.
I'm happy for it, actually. I hope you were late over there, and it really destroyed their show.
Threw it to the trash.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. There he is. Follow him, at Ernest. Ernest, good to see you, bud.
Good to see you, too,
and
man.
I hope everybody checks out Flower Shops, the album, and checks out Ernest's podcast, which I've been a guest on. I don't guest on a lot of podcasts. But Ernest Podcast.
Yay.
Just Being Ernest.
It's called Just Being Ernest.
My favorite line in the Flower Shop song, I just am obsessed with the remove the thorns because she can't take any more like hurt and pain.
Exactly.
Like,
if you can do one little thing, make sure there's no thorns on there.
Yeah.
I would probably lie and say that was a true story. I like what you guys did. Like you bait George Jones. But I'd be like, yeah, it's happened to me.
Well, I told you it wasn't hard for me or Ben to go there. It happened to both of us.
Yeah. That's what I like. He's modifying this. We're seeing it live.
Yes, here we go.
All right, at Ernest. Ernest, good to see you, bud. And
thanks,
we will
too,
hopefully see you soon.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number 2.
Everything is getting so crazy expensive lately, and Scuba Steve is experiencing a lot with that, especially with his phone bill. He got a really crazy phone bill recently, and as much as he may want to blame the scammers, it is mostly Scuba Steve's fault because of his response to the scammers and what's been happening. So yeah, this is a good one, and maybe it'll make you do it too. Just, you know, don't be charged like Scuba did in this segment.
Number 4.
Okay, so we selected and pick a bit, we voted, and Scuba Steve's segment is up. Hey Scuba, so your cell phone bill was much higher than you anticipated. Why? What happened?
Hundreds more dollars,
he said.
Than I anticipated, and it came from the courtesy of my wife texting me saying, what the hell are you doing with international phone calls?
International phone calls.
Yes. So we've talked about scams a lot in the show recently, and then the cell phone robocalls. So I'm the kind of person, when you get those, I do a couple different things. If I'm busy, I pick it up and hang it up so it goes away. If I have some free time, I'll pick it up and I'll talk to them. Or if I'm at the house, my son will pick up and he'll talk to them for however long the conversation goes.
So you've been talking to these people that are trying to scam you out of money or sell you a warranty.
Yes, which they're not going to scam me because I know what they're up to. I just kind of want to. It's a release. It's fun for me to do these things.
Do you ever learn anything from them?
Sometimes I learn about their family because when my son intervenes and has a conversation, they start talking about their kids and their wife and their home life. He kind of breaks down the walls with them, gets a little personable. For me, I've learned that these guys are not as bad as they say they are. They're just trying to make some money.
And you wasting their time keeps them from calling other people.
Yes, exactly, because they're not getting anything out of me.
So like, what countries have you talked to?
The Philippines.
Oh, wow.
India. I've talked to people over in England. I've talked to people all over the world. Haiti.
And you didn't.
Haiti?
And you didn't think that it could have been Amy's kids' uncles.
Yeah.
You're wasting their time.
That's right.
Could have been. Well, I figured they're wasting my time, so I'm going to waste their time.
And you got your phone bill, and it was hundreds of dollars more expensive.
Yes, because it turns out if you're on that phone call for longer than, I think, 5 or 6 seconds, it starts charging you because you've accepted the phone call and picked it up.
Wow.
So we've got a lot of extra charges on the phone bill this past month.
Interesting.
According to UMail's robocall index, almost 3.8 billion spam calls were made in February alone. I mean, I get them all the time, and they're like one number different than mine, which is weird because, again, you feel like it might be your long-lost twin brother or something.
Do you pick them up?
No, I hang them up.
Okay, good.
But those you wouldn't get billed for because that's
right.
Domestic.
I pick it. Well, Scuba, when yours come, do they show as domestic or do they show as
So they've come in many different ways. They've even popped up at South Korea. So I've seen where it's another country because I have a country code. It'll say like +31 or something weird.
And like Russia's called me.
Maybe recently?
Putin. Yeah.
Asking. Well, I don't know, but it shows up as that. It's this weird number, and then underneath in small letters it says Russia.
Okay, so your advice, Scuba, is...
As don't do what I do. Don't pick it up and talk to them. There is a hack, though, to get them to stop calling you. If you pick it up and you put it on mute so it's silent, they'll speak. And then eventually, if you say nothing, it goes away. You're off that list.
But then you get billed for picking it up.
No, well, not if it's more than five. If it's less than 5 seconds and you hang up, you're fine.
Sounds like more than 5 seconds to me. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not risking that. All right, Scuba, that's the pick a bit. How do we feel about that pick a bit?
Good.
Pretty good.
Feel good.
Educational.
Disappointed. No one's voting for me. It's getting annoying.
Yeah.
You really want your bit to be picked, huh?
Yeah, and I know that Amy's never going to pick mine, so I know that I'm in trouble.
That's not true, but now he's playing you. Now he's playing you.
I know.
Now he's pushing you the opposite way.
Listen, you know what I do? My brain goes back to, like, I don't know, 2006 when we had Naked Baby on the schedule for, like, years. And we never, did we ever get to it?
Yeah, one time finally.
Okay, eventually.
The whole bit was, Lunchbox had sent in a bit years prior, going, I was at the lake. And there was this baby out in the lake, and it was naked. Like, the mom was just, like, a four-year-old just out playing naked in the lake.
I said it was awkward because it was like at Barton Springs where there's a bunch of people. So it's just naked in front of all these people. I was like, is that not inappropriate? And it stayed on there forever. And we gave it, like, half a second because finally Bobby just wanted to take it off the schedule.
I had it on the list of things to talk about for 3 years.
Three years?
All it said was
and we never
naked
got
baby.
To it. Every day it was on the list to talk about. And just said naked baby.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And then I think we did it right before we moved. Just so we wouldn't just move to a new city
and
with
so
naked baby.
What's this called again? His thing?
Pick a bit. Lunch is this called. Hold on, I have it written down here.
The news.
Has anyone seen me on the news?
Yes. So, like, I'm not going to cave.
Has anyone seen me on the news?
But see what I'm saying? You got to throw her off the jury because she's already admitting that she's a tainted juror.
So? I went this
Morgan
longer than
did pick
naked
it only
baby.
Because it's been sitting on the list.
Yeah.
To be fair.
But that's better.
Okay. Thank you, Scuba, for your pick a bit.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
It's always weird when I intro one that has me involved in it. But this week we talked about me trying to get on the super fan show for Shania Twain. We talked about why I'm a super fan, how Lunchbox doesn't think I should be on the show. You know, all the things. I'm just going to leave that there. And I'm going to say I am a Shania Twain super fan. And I have been for so much of my life. So, you know, it's fine. It's fine. Lunchbox can keep his jealousy. I'll just say that, you know, you got to give support to get support. To Lunchbox if he's listening, which I know he isn't. But right now you can hear the segment where we talk about me being a Superman. Superman? I could be Superman. That'd be fun. I am a super fan of Shania Twain.
Number three.
Morgan, I want to come to you first. And Morgan is our head of digital, the website, all the socials. You know, she has a job that never stops. And she is a massive Shania Twain fan. And on the show, we were talking about this TV show where they're looking for super fans. Now, what did you find out after we did the segment?
So Scuba Steve reached out to the people and they were like, have her go ahead and send it in because the deadline had passed. And we're like, oh, crap, she's not going to be able to get in. But they were like, go ahead and have her send it in. We'll pass it on to the casting director. So I submitted all my super fan information and it's being passed on right now as we speak.
Amazing.
Now, this is one of those, it's like rain. Like, isn't it ironic in a good way? And I'm going to tell you how. Scuba Steve had approached me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, there's this new show. Would you like to talk to the producer? And I thought that show's very interesting, but we don't talk to a lot of producers of shows. But then once Amy gave more details about Kelsey and Shania.
Little Big Town.
And Little Big Town. I thought maybe we should because this is right in our... And then the fact that you're a super fan, we're going to have her on the show, if not tomorrow, Monday, to talk about it. If you were to get on the show, two things. One, that would be amazing because you are a massive Shania fan.
It would be awesome.
But two, I do think someone on this show would implode.
Yes, he would.
Who? Here's the thing.
Okay, go ahead.
He's speaking now.
I don't want to ruin her chances of getting on the show, but she is a fan. She's not a super fan. She doesn't have tattoos of Shania. She doesn't have Shania.
Why are you knocking her down?
I'm just saying.
You're knocking her down.
I just said I'm not going to try to ruin her chances, but she's a fan. But a super fan? That ain't her.
Are you a Tina Turner super fan?
I love Tina Turner.
Are you a super fan?
Do you have a Tina tattoo?
No, but I once.
My point is, there's no reason for you to take shots at her.
I'm not taking shots.
You just said why she shouldn't be on the show.
You said because she doesn't have a Shania tattoo.
Morgan, why did you tell them you're a Shania super fan?
Well, so I explained that she was the first CD that I ever had. Like, I grew up only.
Let's do one at a time. Okay. Lunchbox, you tell me if these count as super fan.
Yeah.
Elements. Okay. Go. Number one.
So I told them that she was the first CD I ever had. It's all I listened to for several years.
No.
Okay.
That's a good start to a super fan.
Okay.
Go ahead.
She was the first concert I ever went to.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
okay, great.
Tell them what you wore.
And yes, I had leopard print on.
Okay. I bet a lot of girls out there, first concert with Shania Twain with leopard print because that was their favorite artist. Next.
My dad held me up so I could touch her hand, and I would not let my parents wash my hand for several weeks after the fact.
That's good.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Just like any other kid.
Okay.
Did you put it like in a Ziploc bag when you showered?
Yeah, kind of. Like I refused. It was like a whole thing with my parents when this happened.
Anything else?
And then I would always have her posters hanging up, and I knew every single song on every single one of her albums, even her new one after she had a hiatus. I knew all those songs.
Wow, that's super fan. I never heard any of that. I'll be honest with you. Okay. Yes, Amy?
Well, and I'll just say, too, to remind Lunchbox of, like, what it is there's going to be other fans, and Morgan's going to get to compete. So her, like, she'll have to know things, and she'll have to prove herself and prove that she's the number one fan.
How many times have you seen her in concert?
I've seen her twice.
Oh, super fan.
She retired.
Super fan.
She was little.
She retired.
She was here, like a
wow,
child.
Super fan.
I paid $500 to see her the second time.
What?
Oh,
that is super
that's
fan.
Super fan.
No, that's just called rich.
No.
Oh.
Morgan's not rich.
It was just a joke.
That's not an insult, Morgan.
No, that's okay. I'm not.
No, we're shocked because that's not like Morgan probably had to save and figure it out. And like she was willing to invest in something that was important to her.
My point is, instead of you saying, I would also like to be on television, and I'm a little jealous. You're taking shots at her to keep her off of television.
Not taking shots.
Kind of.
You immediately did.
No, I immediately just pointed out facts.
Okay. We'll have her on. We'll have the producer on. I think it would be awesome if you were able to get on. But if if someone shows up with a Shania tattoo, you're out of luck.
Yeah. I know.
Get one real quick.
Lunchbox, I think Pitbull is also doing this. Do you want to try to be his biggest fan?
No, I'd never see him in concert.
Who cares?
You can get on TV.
Yeah, get on TV.
The producer's coming on the show. Just, you know.
We'll have her on the next couple of days.
I will say, I don't think I'm like a crazy fan. I just think I'm a good fan.
Don't say that. You need to be crazy.
See, there you go. Sell it like that.
Morgan, that's a good job. That's how you get on TV.
You still haven't washed your hands.
Yeah, I'm holding on to that.
You still haven't. It's in a Ziploc bag right now.
Like you.
These producers want people who are
super fan.
Loud, opinionated.
Passionate.
I just want to make sure she doesn't think I'm stalkerish.
No, okay. They want that.
Okay.
We sent it off. They're considering you. That would be amazing.
Yes.
And you can have all the time off you need to do it.
And now I'm going to go super crazy. So Lunchbox sees me go on the TV show.
That's right. When the woman comes on, start like panting. things like that.
No,
really
just start singing Shania. All right.
Okay, we'll find out the next couple days if Morgan still has a chance at this.
Please no.
That'll be very exciting, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Super cool moment for Eddie this week. A song that he wrote with John Daly came out on his new album. And so Eddie officially has like a song sung, produced on an album out into the world, and we got to hear it. And he shared the behind the scenes of it and how it happened. If you want to listen to that song, it's on bobbybones.com. But right now, here's Eddie talking about writing the song with John Daly.
Number two.
So we mentioned in the post show yesterday, our esteemed video producer Eddie wrote this song with John Daly, the golfer who has kind of a country music career as well.
Yeah.
And so the song is called Why'd She Ever Love Me. We played a clip of it in the post show, and I was like, this song sounds pretty good. We only played the chorus, so I didn't really get a chance to hear the song.
You're going to play this right now?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Why not? Listen, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's really, really
cool. This is cool. You did a big thing.
Yeah.
You went and wrote a song. You got a cut.
It's on an album. Yeah. Like, this is the real deal.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
So, we may not play all 3 minutes of it.
Okay.
But let's just see. I just want to listen to the words.
All right.
This is called Why'd She Ever Love Me by John Daly.
And I sit down, have a drink. Give me a second while I think about how I've lived. How I've lived. Do you mind if I bend your ear and tell you how I got here? I'm a man that lost his chance with a woman who did nothing but give. She poured her heart out. Another shot of whiskey. I treat her so bad. How the hell she ever forgive me? Just 'cause I didn't show it doesn't mean I didn't care. Kept it all inside when I should have been there. With the tears she cried, yes, the lies above me. Why'd she ever love me? And through the tears in my eyes, behind the bar I recognize that sweet face that put me in my place for all these years. She poured her heart out, took another shot of whiskey. I treat it so bad, how the hell she ever forgive me? Just 'cause I didn't show it doesn't mean I didn't care. Kept it all inside when I should have been there. With the tears she cried, yes, the lies above me. Why'd she ever love me?
So, thank like, you. What words did you write?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
It's not really how it works.
Yeah, it's kind of
yeah,
like,
I just didn't know if he had, like a line that was, like, yours.
No. Yeah, like, it's a team effort.
Yeah.
All right, here, let's finish it up.
All right.
Eddie wrote this with John Daly.
Funny, I'm different now, and I can't allow us to waste another year. You're the one I've been running from. Now that we're both right here. Treat you so bad, how the hell did you ever forgive me? Just 'cause I didn't show it doesn't mean I didn't care. Shouldn't have kept it all inside when I should have been there. Answer lies right here in front of me, yeah. Through the tears I cry, I can barely see. Why'd she ever love me?
Come on. There it is.
Thank you. Thank you. That's pretty cool, man.
That's awesome, dude.
Thank you for playing that. That's
of
really
course.
Cool.
I'm proud of you. That's awesome. That's John Daly, the former professional golfer. But Eddie wrote that with them.
Yeah.
And that's really stinking cool, my friend.
That's awesome. Man, it's crazy. We wrote that in August of last year, and it's like barely came out, what, like last week or something? It's like, man, that takes a while. I'm sure some people write songs like years and years ago, and then it finally sees the light of day. It's pretty cool. I'm a part of that right now.
It's actually a pretty good song, too.
Yeah.
Thank
like,
you.
It sounds like a Lee Bryce song. I mean, cool. When I hear that, that sounds like a Lee Bryce song.
Well, hey, Lee Bryce can cut it, too, if he wants. You know what I mean?
Why she ever loved me? Come
pretty
on,
cool.
Man.
Thank you, man. That's awesome.
Our guy Eddie over here making big moves.
Man, just kind of, just if an opportunity opens up, I take it.
I like that. There it is. You guys can stream it or, I don't know. Eddie ain't going to make a bunch of money off of it or
no.
Anything.
Hey, what do? Go to iTunes and download it? No, yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Listen, no,
somebody
the
might.
Truth is, it'll probably be number one on iTunes because it takes like 30 downloads to be a number one song
right.
On iTunes. But that's really cool. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. Thanks for playing
Amy,
that.
What do you want to say to our new songwriter friend?
Okay.
I'm
going to
go stream it.
I
mean, I'm super impressed. Like, I was feeling that song for sure. And, yeah, I love that Eddie's got opportunities and he's trying it out. I mean, he's obviously been a songwriter with you with the Raging Idiots, but this is like a little bit different. Yeah, and I love it.
Yeah, it's like a crazy real song.
Why'd she ever love me? So no, but really seriously, cool. Though, what words did you write?
Yeah. I don't know. Love
that's
me.
Not
I
how it
love
works.
You don't love me? All right. Okay, well, I feel good. Everybody feel good?
Yes.
Good little segment. Okay, cool.
Hey, I even saw Lunchbox kind of bobbing his head.
He's crying.
You know what I mean?
I saw him crying over there.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Why would I cry about a stupid song?
Okay. Like,
do you think it's a good song?
That's fine.
Okay, of course. It's fine. Well, now he's gonna,
what would you give it, 1 through 10?
Probably a 6.
Okay, better than average,
that's
though.
That's great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's generous.
I mean, Eddie was trying to get me to get real into it. He kept hitting me going, hey, man, you see that? I wrote that. He was pointing at himself. I'm like, yeah, dude, I know you wrote it. Bobby kept saying you wrote it. And he was like, hey, you know I wrote that. Yeah, I got it. I mean, good job. Congratulations.
Thanks,
but you
man.
Can't even tell us what you wrote, so I don't know how much you really wrote.
Okay.
Okay. Next thing you know, Lunchbox is going to give Eddie Songwriters for Dummies.
Yeah, probably the book.
No, that's a real song.
That is a real song.
Oh, boy.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
And coming in hot at number one is Tim Tebow. He came on the show to talk about a new book that he has out. But every time we do an interview with Tim Tebow, he's always so kind and so sweet. I think he might be the nicest person on planet Earth. And you guys always feel the same way. You guys write such nice things and engage so much with all the content about him. So without further ado, it is Tim Tebow with Bobby Bones.
Number one.
Always loving having Tim on the show. Tim, how's it going, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you? I see you rocking the Arkansas sweatshirt.
You know, it's 90% of my wardrobe, and it wasn't because of you, although if you'd like to take it as a personal shot, I welcome it. But it is most of my clothes, if it's not dress clothes, it's somehow got a Razorback on it. So I appreciate the acknowledgement.
I got no problem. Rock your school. Be proud of it. No problem whatsoever. And listen, Bobby, I know you would never take any shots at me. So I know we're better than that. So,
of course not. Tim Tebow is on, who, by the way, the Gators lost to Arkansas a couple weeks ago in Florida. It's pretty cool. Anyway, I've spent a bit of time with your book, actually. It's a wonderful read as someone who loves motivational books. And I've actually highlighted a couple things that I wanted to bring to you. So I've made notes on pages, so excuse my fumbling. But the book is called Mission Possible, Go Create a Life That Counts. And I want to go to this called Make the Choice. And I want to read a section of something that I found really moving and would like for Tim to elaborate a bit. Tim writes, "Before we start dreaming about the possible, we must remind ourselves of something. Even as we lock into significance over success, the results are beyond our control." Tim, talk to me about that. What do you mean by that in like human talking terms?
Well, first of all, thanks for investing so much in reading it and being aware of everything. I really appreciate that. First of all, I find that really encouraging to me. And the reason that I wrote this, Bobby, is to encourage people. That's why it's literally titled Mission Possible, not Tom Cruise Mission Impossible. It is Mission Possible. And I think to give a little background of what I mean by that is a few studies that have been done. One, with people 18 to 35, over 60% of them say no one believes in them. There's no one in the world that believes them, over 60% of young people. And another third of our population say that either they are lonely all the time or most of the time. And then out of our population, they spend 12% of their daily thoughts comparing themselves with other people. So if no one believes in us, if we're lonely all or most of the time, and we're spending our time comparing our thoughts and we want to be like other people, there's no chance that we're going to actually live out the purpose, the calling, the dreams, the visions, the hopes that we have in our life. And so I wanted to write something that is going to encourage people in who they are and who they were created to be and what they can accomplish. And I think getting to what we're talking about is sometimes the results aren't up to us, meaning the results of, I want people to dream. But listen, if you're 5'5", you're probably not going to be better than LeBron James at basketball. Let's just be honest about that. But with this book, having a Mission Possible life, a life that truly counts, that's possible for everyone. It's not about how equipped you are, how what your status is, how many followers you have, how skilled you are. It is about making the choice to be willing to love, serve, give, care, pray, and be willing to give of yourself to help other people. And I believe every single one of us can make that choice.
I didn't feel that way about myself till right now. He just motivated me to believe that about myself, talking to him in person. Yes. There's another part that I read, and it was a part of the book. It was called There Is No Yet. And you talk about how easy it is whenever times are good to make commitments. And I believe part of it was when you're getting married, it's easy to make the vows for sickness and death, or whenever you've, you know, working on a project, it's easy to commit to it and all that. But then sometimes it gets hard. And so kind of go into that a little bit and what you meant.
Well, that was actually, I was sharing a story to illustrate it about Jeff and Becky Davidson, very close friends of ours and ministry partners of ours. And they had been married for many years, and they had a child, John Alex, who was born with severe special needs. And actually, in taking care of both of them are in the hospital. Jeff and John Alex were in the hospital, and the social worker, because Jeff was so sick, he said, you know, if Jeff survives and he goes home, how are you, to Becky, how are you going to take care of him? Like, who's going to take care of him? She said, I will. Like, I've been doing it for 25 years and I'm not going to stop. And the social worker said, well, yet, meaning you're not going to stop yet. But when it gets hard enough, you're going to make the choice to quit. And when Jeff was on his deathbed, the last thing that she said to him as she's holding his hand is, there was no yet. There was never a yet. You know, there was never a moment where it's going to get too hard, where I was going to leave you. There's never a moment where things got too bleak, where I didn't believe in you, where love wasn't enough. And that was just one of the really inspirational stories in my life, to be friends with them, to watch it up close and from afar, to be able to see what it really means to choose convictions over emotions, what it really means to say, you know what, when I'm all in, I truly mean all in. You know, we wear slogans and tags and phrases that we throw out all the time, especially in sports. Hey, what does it mean to be all in? Well, I can tell you for Becky Davidson, when she's got her husband in the hospital and her son in another hospital, and she spends her days going back and forth, and the social workers and the doctors are saying, listen, you can't do all this. She's saying, hey, there is no yet. And you know, that was such an inspiration to me to say, you know what, when I believe in something, when I say I'm all in, there better not be a yet.
You know, a lot of the book highlights your relationship with Christ. You know, how important is that for you to not only thread that into your message, but to communicate to others how important it is?
Well, I think it's something that I want to communicate in my life, not just in words, but more importantly in actions and in deeds, but hopefully have the chance to mesh those up. And I believe that one of the greatest things that people are looking for, and it's also backed by statistics, I believe 81% of people are looking for purpose and meaning in their life. And I wanted this book to be something that could encourage people with that purpose. And I believe that every single person, Bobby, has purpose. Every single person was created in love, by love, and for love. And I believe there is a great plan for their life. And I want to encourage them in that plan for their life, that they have such significance and meaning, and they were created with infinite value and worth, that the God of this universe loves them enough to send his son, his best for them. I believe that gives everyone encouragement, confidence, that holy cow, like, there is the God of this universe loves me, believes in me, created me this way. And when a life realizes that, I don't have to spend my time worrying about what the world says. I don't have to spend my time worrying about what social media says. I don't have to spend my time comparing myself with other people, even though it's really easy to do so, because I know what God says about me. That's more important than what anybody else says about me.
Tim Tebow's on. His book is called Mission Possible. Go create a life that counts. And I do think if what Tim's message is now is resonating with you, you will love the book. It is, and I say this in the most complimentary way, it's an easy read because it's understandable. Sometimes people that write books are like, they like to write in big fancy words and terms that you don't understand, but you didn't do that here. Like, it just felt good. I felt good afterward. So congratulations on writing something, you know, really substantive, Tim.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that. Thank you for your support. And I really hope this book can encourage people. That's really the heart and the passion behind it, and to encourage people truly in their worth.
I want to ask you a couple things that are non-book related. And by the way, there's a wall here, you know, where we're doing the radio show, and you're so motivational and, you know, quite the inspiration to talk to, that if you said, hey, Bobby, I'd like for you to run through that wall right now, Tim, I would do it. I would run through that wall right now for you. Thank you. Thank you.
And for the Razorbacks, you would do it there too.
Both. Yes, both. Hey, do you ever see yourself, because you are such a leader, and I pivot into this, Do you ever see yourself being a leader in different areas, a CEO of a major company, in politics, a head football coach? Like, what do you think is in store for Tim Tebow in the next 10 to 15 years?
That's a really good question. I see the possibility of all three. I mean, I think it's hard to really know exactly. I think in coaching, you have to give up so much because it's literally more than a full-time job. And I think that would be really hard, even though I love the thought of it, love the thought of inspiring, encouraging, and building a team of young men. But I mean, you have to drop everything else. And I love what we're doing at our foundation and so many other things. I'm fortunate to be part of some different companies that we're building now. I really enjoy that side. And then in politics, I don't know if it's something that I would quite enjoy as much, to be honest, but I've always said I would at least be open to it if it's where I felt I could do the most good, if I could truly create the most amount of impact and change. If that was something that I felt was really put on my heart, then I would be open to looking at it.
You know, if you go and have dinner in Gainesville, or let's say Florida in general, you're back in Florida, and people say, well, this guy never has to pay for a meal again in Florida. Does that ever actually happen where you're there and you're having a meal and they're like, well, the guy over at that table over there just picked up your whole meal, Mr. Tebow? Does that happen?
It's definitely happened, yes. I can't lie and say that it hasn't happened. it has happened.
And then do you feel the need like you have to go over? Like, did they just buy a meet and greet with you, I guess is the question. By buying your meal, do you feel like, well, now I got to go over and spend a few time with all 12 people sitting at the table?
Honestly, I think there's both. There's some times where you feel the need to do that, but then there's also times where people have purchased the meal and the waiter would not tell you who it was. They said they wanted to be anonymous. They just wanted to say thank you for either your ministry or foundation or Night to Shine or Orphan Care or something that was near and dear to their heart. And so they just wanted to say thank you, but they wanted to remain anonymous. And I think that's pretty cool as well.
I've got two questions and one little promo that I'm going to do before this interview is over. Because I like this is like pardon the interruption where you can see what's happening on the screen. So you know where we are.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
Here are the two questions. Number one, I had heard this, that you almost went to Alabama because of your relationship with Coach Shula. Like, how close were you to actually being part of the Crimson Tide family?
Literally, I was a split second away from it. From my sophomore year through literally the last moment when I chose Florida, Alabama was leading the entire time. I wasn't even looking at Florida. They had a different coaching staff, and they weren't even in my top 25. And then they fired that coaching staff. They brought in Urban and all the new guys, and I started to build this relationship. But it was so much more established with Alabama, and I love the passion, the tradition, the culture, everything. And then thinking about being a part of bringing Alabama back to what they once were was so exciting to me. And so, yes, I was literally a split second away. And to be honest, even when I chose Florida, there was a little bit of regret in my heart of should I have chose Alabama? That's how close I was with, shoot, when I told Coach Shula I was going to Florida, I had tears in my eyes. And it's not the only time that Alabama made me cry.
And my final question for you is, if you or stub your toe or hit your elbow, or does a curse word ever come out of your mouth?
I hope not. I mean, it's probably a negative word, but then I might just say something that's like totally random, not as bad.
Like fooey or yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Tater tots. Yeah. And
perfect.
Let me say this.
Hey, what did tater tots ever do to you? You know,
that's, Tim Tebow has Mission Possible. Go create a life that counts. And also Bronco and Friends, A Party to Remember. That's your first book, but you're doing a second. If I'm right about this, you're doing a second in the series, right? That's coming out later on this year?
Yes, that's right. It's coming out in just a few weeks.
Okay. Well, the guy's writing more books than, I don't know, Stephen King, makeup and author. I don't know. Judy Bloom.
James Patterson.
He is the new Judy Bloom of books. It is Tim Tebow. Hey,
that
Tim.
That might be the first time anybody's compared me to Judy Bloom, but there you go.
It is Tim Tebow. We love him. And, except for when we played him. I was at the SEC championship game when Tim was a freshman, and he was the backup quarterback in Atlanta, and he did, I believe, scored on a quarterback sneak. Something. He was running a quarterback package, and I hated you that year. And to be frank, I hated you until you graduated, but now I can't get enough of you, Tim.
Well, man, I appreciate you. You're a stud. And by the way, I love what Arkansas is doing with Sam Pittman. I love it. I love what he's all about. So congrats on that. I think there's a lot to be excited about with Arkansas right now.
Tim, good to see you. Congratulations on the books. I hope you sell so many. I think the message is awesome. Have a good day, man.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you, man. Tell everybody hey there.
All right. See you later.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
That's it for the bits this weekend, y'all. I hope you got caught up so you're ready to go for next week's show. If you missed anything, make sure you go to bobbybones.com. There's so much more content up there that I don't get a breakdown on the best bits. Lots of videos, lots of fun things to get you through the weekend when you don't get to listen to the best bits or the show. So maybe tomorrow, you know, Sunday when you got nothing to do, or Monday, you know, whenever you listen to this, you can go online and just catch up on other content there. It's all up there that's important that you want to see, I promise. Thank you guys so much for listening to the best bits and the feedback you're giving on the part one, part two. I'm glad you guys are loving it. I love y'all. Bye.
This is a Bobby Bones show.
Bobby Bones.
Hey, I'm Maya Shunker, host of A Slight Change of Plans, which was recently named Best Show of the Year by Apple for 2021. And we've got new episodes for you about everything from the science of change to personal stories, like a blind woman who becomes a master chef and an Australian doctor who rescued a boys' soccer team from deep within a cave in Thailand. Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me and music industry icon Rick Rubin, along with authors Malcolm Gladwell and Bruce Hedlum, as we chat with legends like Neil Young and Andre 3000 and upcoming artists like Faye Webster about their life and their careers. In honor of Women's History Month, we're spotlighting groundbreaking female artists like Missy Elliott, Patti Smith, and Bonnie Raitt, and celebrating the strides they've made for women. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. I love bacon. It's hard to find somebody who doesn't love bacon. All bacon's good, right? Yeah, but some bacon is next level. And when I talk about next level, I'm talking about Right brand bacon. We had so much up here that the guys on the show were fighting for it. Eddie posted a big case of it that he took home. Right brand is the number one thick cut, hand trimmed, real wood smoked bacon. You just have to try it to believe. So, bacon lovers, do yourself a big favor. Go out and get yourself some Right brand bacon today. It's time you experience bacon the right way.
Canva is awesome for so many reasons, for your social media, but for work. If you're looking for ways to impact at work, Canva can help your points get across. All right, Mike, what do we use it for? Like one sheets if we're doing like a presentation, graphics?
Oh, it's awesome for graphics. Super easy to use.
And that's the thing too, especially with some of these apps, you think, well, there's no way I'll be able to use it. Well, me, because I'm a dummy. But even I can use Canva to make things look cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to insult me and say yeah so quickly.
Yeah, you can do it.
Yes.
It's awesome.
So it's easy to design impactful Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, videos. Start with a designer-made template, which makes it so easy, especially for me. Customize with your content. You can add images and graphics and charts. Start designing today at canva.com. Design for work.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them every day can make all the difference in the world. That's why everybody should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at betterhelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.